Hola, hola, and welcome to Cultura en Cash. This is your host, Giovanna Gonzalez, otherwise known as Gigi, or the Finfluencer, the first-gen mentor. I'm a financial educator, speaker, and best-selling author. On today's episode, I'm going to answer some very specific questions I got about the book tour. My girl, Michael, aka the Bougie Budgeter, reached out and said, hey, can we chat about the book tour? Because I believe she's working on her own book. And I said, you know what? Send me the questions. I'll make a podcast episode out of it because I'm sure other people have similar questions too. Before we get to Michael's questions though, let's do a little bit of housekeeping at the top. First, thank you to everybody who came out to the Downey City Library. That was last week on Thursday. I had such a fun time meeting everybody. The library staff was kind enough to sponsor 15 books. So there was a raffle that was a part of the event too, which is a nice surprise. It's my shortest event that I've done. Typically, my events are 2 to 3 hours. This one was almost an hour and a half, but it was good. I might try to do shorter events because, it's just way less energy. I did a reading. Typically, I do a panel, like a 40-minute panel. This time, I think I did like a maybe 15-minute reading, and then the rest was meet and greet. And it was great. I had a great time, and I think people really enjoyed the reading too. So, yeah, thank you, Downey City Library, for hosting me. Speaking of the book tour, I have my last book tour stop coming up. I am tired, y'all. I have been on tour since February. I've had events every other week since February, and we are now at the end of April. So it's been 3 months, February, March, April. Yeah. So I need a break. I am at this point with my last event, I would have done 9 events, and I'm ready. I'm ready to for the spring to pause and rest and recharge. This last book tour stop will be on Friday, April 26th. It'll be in Deerfield Beach, Florida. So that's in South Florida at a bookstore, a Latina-owned bookstore called Steamy Lit. I'm going to co-host it with my girl, Carla Santa Maria, aka Carla, the First Gen Coach. The event will be a 2-hour event from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., be prepared to support this Latina-owned bookstore as they will have books available for purchase there. You can register for this free event by visiting my website, culturaencash.com. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see the link to register for this free event. I can't wait to meet you. This will be my only planned stop in Miami. I don't plan to go back to Miami later this year. I am going to have a second leg of the tour for the fall. I'm probably going to hit up New York City again. I'm probably going to hit up Texas because I've been getting a lot of requests for Texas. But I don't plan to be in Miami again. So, again, if you are in Miami and you're like, ugh, I don't want to drive all the way to Deerfield Beach, pull up because I may not be there later this year. We'll see, but I'm not planning to. And then even though I'm going to finish my book tour, I'm excited that I'll be helping my girl Janice promote her book, Financially Lit. She will be doing a book tour stop in Chicago on May 7th. Her book, Financially Lit, will be out on April 30th. So please pre-order it wherever you get your books to support her book. And save the date so you can come out to our live event on May 7th. I'll be hosting her. We'll have a short panel discussion, and then she'll do a book signing and a meet and greet. So that'll be really fun. That'll be in Logan Square on Tuesday, the evening of Tuesday, May 7th. Lastly, if you're a part of my email community, I did send out instructions on April 10th about how to enter the giveaway that I'm doing for my email list only, which is to win one of the 3 VIP PR boxes that I am giving away. They're valued at $145. I will be resending the email because I know a lot of people joined after the 10th, so you will still get an opportunity to enter the giveaway, but just keep an eye out in your inbox this week. That email will be resent probably by Wednesday. So you'll still have an opportunity to participate in the giveaway, even though you joined the email list late. That's okay. I forgive you. The giveaway runs through April 30th. So you'll still have like about a week to enter. All right. I think that's all the housekeeping for today. Let's go ahead and move to Michael's questions. She asked very, very good questions. There are 12 questions. A lot of them I can answer thoroughly. A lot of them I couldn't. So you'll see which ones very quickly. All right. First question from Michael. Do you think it would be best to book locations first and then seek sponsors? To be clear, I did not have a sponsor for this book tour. I self-financed this book tour. When I knew I was going to have to start promoting the book, I thought about the idea of having my brand sponsors sponsor a book tour or a book tour stop or maybe the entire book tour. And I mentioned it to my brand manager. I've been with her for 2 years now. Shout out to Influence with Impact. And she said, you know what? I don't think the ROI is there for the sponsors. So I wouldn't focus too much energy if you don't have the time right now to be pitching to them because I don't think it's going to work out. She says, what I would focus on is keep getting brand deals, keep getting the influencer money, save that money and self-finance it. So I took her advice and I did kind of like test the waters a bit. I sent out a couple emails probably, when was it, December? Yeah, my book launched in January. So in December, probably not the best time because people are, you know, like starting to head out for the holidays, zone out for the holidays. But I sent out a couple of emails of to kind of gauge interest of, hey, who did I try to contact? I contacted Fidelity, Experian. I'm trying to think of other past partners that I've worked with. And I just said, hey, I'm promoting my book. Are you interested in collaborating? And the only one that I really heard back from was Fidelity. And that was because we had done an IG live. And their response was, yeah, let's stay in touch. Let's see how the book launch goes. So to me, that means it's more like, let's see if the book is successful. And then we can stay in touch later to kind of see if it makes sense. So the door wasn't completely closed, but it just wasn't like a yes, sign us up. So I kind of got that vibe just from, again, getting limited response from my other brand partners that jumped at the ability to sponsor me for a video on my socials, but again, weren't very interested in a book tour. And again, I think it's because the ROI isn't there the same way that it is for social media. So I, again, to clarify, did not have sponsors, although that shouldn't dissuade you from pitching if that's what you're interested in doing. Let me see here. I do plan to pitch potential sponsors this summer now that I have proven success from this 9-stop book tour. Hopefully it'll be an easier pitch, but I'm not holding my breath, honestly. I mean, if I can get a sponsor or two, that'd be great, but if not, I'm going to piggyback off speaking clients. So when I do speaking clients during Hispanic Heritage Month, I will add an extra date to my visit to be able to do a free event at a library or a low-cost event at a Latina-owned bookstore, something like that. But yeah, if you have time to pitch, I definitely encourage you to. Don't let my experience dissuade you from doing that, especially if you have strong relationships with your past sponsors. I would definitely start there and let them know that this is an extension of your brand and you'd like their support. I would definitely source a spot first and be able to come up with the cost, right? To be able to tell them this is how much it would cost for you to sponsor my book tour event or my whole book tour, whatever it is. And question number two, how were you moving the books? Did you have them shipped to the location prior to the event? This is such a good question. So you don't want to deal with the headache of moving books around. Books are heavy and they're just not fun to lug around. I only did it twice. So I did it with Latina Fest, and because there you were encouraged to sell your books, right? You had an author's booth and people were there just kind of looking around, meeting new authors, taking pictures with them and possibly buying their book. So there I took 200 copies of my book. I did, Latina Fest was kind enough to let me have the books shipped directly from my publisher to one of the hosts' home. So then the host took it with her the day of the festival. So that was really helpful as opposed to like me having to bring them from Chicago or I don't even know where I would have sent them to LA. So that was really, really helpful. But I will say I did not sell all the books. So I still had 7 full boxes to carry with me, to lug with me when I was done with Latina Fest, and that was hard. And then it started raining. it was hard. And I'm just like, I am way too fabulous for this. So again, I wouldn't, and Mikhail, you're fabulous too. So I don't think you would like that experience. I did have a TaskRabbit. Ooh, let me add that note. 'Cause that was a good note for one of the questions that you asked me for what kind of support team members. Okay, TaskRabbit. I'm glad I remembered. I did have a TaskRabbit to help me sell books during the booth or when I had the booth, but I wasn't smart enough to have her afterwards to help me carry the books back. And lesson learned. It's just better to pay the TaskRabbit another hour to be able to get that support as opposed to you doing it on your own. The other event where I did have books was I did a panel event with Latina Sweat Project here in Chicago. I was okay with transporting. I think I had 20 books because it's in Chicago, right? So I just packed them into the Uber, and then Margarita's boyfriend helped me with the books up the stairs. So it wasn't bad. If it's like in your town, it's not bad. But yeah, when if it's out of town, out of state, I would really try to stay away from that. So instead, what I did is I would have events and I would encourage my readers to bring their own book, BYOB. So I encourage them to buy the book in advance from their favorite online retailer, or even better, if they could support their local bookstore, bring the book with them. And then that way I wasn't responsible for lugging any books and they could get their books signed. I would end up bringing a few copies, mostly hardcover copies, because I had them on display, because you can't, I have hardcover copies of the book and I have paperback copies, and the paperback doesn't, you can't really like stand it up well. So the hardcover copies, they're really good to put on display. And I always found that people would say, oh, are these on sale too? Because they're nicer, right? The hardcovers are much nicer than paperbacks. So those will always end up getting sold. So I would bring like five or something, a handful. Not where it was like an inconvenience to carry them. But yeah, you do not want to deal with the headache of having to lug books around. If you do, make sure to hire an assistant for the day to help you carry them. Or one time too, actually, I'm just remembering when I did the Berwyn, Illinois. So it's a Chicago suburbs. I did the Los Amigos bookstore. That was a Latina owned bookstore. They hosted me and she encouraged me to bring more books in case she didn't have enough. So I did bring, I think I brought a box. And I put it in, we have one of those little carts where you like, because we live in the city. So it's like a grocery cart, I don't know what to call it. It's not like a real grocery cart, but it has like a bag. It's like a, what's it called? I don't know what it's called. But it's just like a small grocery cart, right? To lug all your groceries so you don't have to carry them. So I put the books there. So that was easy for me to transport them. But yeah, otherwise I would definitely get support. Or again, have events where you encourage your attendees to bring their own books. It's just much simpler that way. And that way too, you don't have to guess, am I going to bring enough books? Am I going to run out of books? Everybody brings their own copy and you're all set. Let me see here. Oh, speaking of the books that I did not sell at Latina Fest, those 7 boxes, I did have to have them shipped to Chicago. So again, that was an inconvenience, right? Like, okay, I'm in LA. I have 7 boxes of my books. I'm not just going to leave them here. Alejandra Campoverde, my friend, was kind enough to say, hey, I'll hold them for you in my apartment. I have an extra room. And I was going to take her up on it, but then I'm like, they're just going to stay there. They're just going to stay stuck. I said, you know what? It just makes sense to ship them back home. So again, an added inconvenience to have to go to the post office and have them shipped out. That added like another 40 minutes to what was already a busy traveling day. So again, I really, really discourage any sort of like shipping back and forth of books. I actually think one of my boxes was lost. I don't even think it ever made it here. So that was like $100 of my author copies just lost. And then, now that I have these 6 boxes, I'm listing those paperback books that I have for sale online. They're signed copies. So before I was only selling hardcover signed copies. I was selling them for $40. They sold like hotcakes and I actually ran out. So I'm waiting for the new order to come in. But if you're interested in a signed copy, it would make a nice graduation gift. Graduation is right around the corner. Or even if you've read the book and now you want to gift it to your cousin or your sister or somebody else, you can go to culturaincash.com to buy a signed paperback copy for $25. And that does include shipping. And it is a pretty good deal because if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere else, the book is $18.95. So again, for $25, you get it signed. And that does include shipping. Third question from Michael. How do you develop the budget for each event? Okay, so I did a lot of research about the book writing process, the book launching process, the marketing process. I could not find a lot of current information on how to plan a book tour. I came across a couple of blogs, but they were outdated. So it just gave very generic advice of like, oh, call your library and try to partner with them. It's like, yeah, okay. So that wasn't really helpful. And it's funny because that's going to be my advice too, but I'll have a little bit more me than that. But so I didn't get any info on any sort of budget. So I had put aside about $10,000 of business money for a potential book tour, right? And I spent about $7,000 of that because I had one New York City stop and I was in New York for like four nights, and that's expensive. And I was in a nice neighborhood because I didn't want to be too far from where I was supposed to be. So my hotel was almost $2,000. It was like $1,800 or something. And then I had two stops in LA. So between the two stops in LA, the one stop in New York City, all my other stops have been in Chicago. I have spent about $7,000. And I've made another podcast episode about the book tour, and I did mention, which you should listen to that if you haven't, I believe it's episode 10, where I say I regret having those two separate LA book stops. And looking back, it really was dumb for me to not combine the two, because basically I went to LA in the beginning of March, and then I went again 2 weeks later. And for Latina Fest. And I should have just combined my Postres event in Bellflower with the same time that I had Latina Fest. And that way I would have just gone to LA once and paid for that expense one time. But I didn't want to bother Gabby with like having to reschedule. But I know that it probably would have been fine. And it would have been a lot easier on me. I would have saved a ton of money on not having to travel to LA twice. And also the energy of flying from Chicago to LA, that's a longer flight than, let's say, going to New York or something. So that's my bigger regret, not combining the two. New York City went great, though. I did have two New York stops. I had the NYU Latinx Alumni Club, and I had the World's Bureau Bookshop in Queens, New York. So that, and I also had media, planned media while I was there. So that was, even though it was an expensive trip, it was very well worth it. Let's see here. Typically, yeah, the cost per book tour stop outside of Chicago was about $2,000 per city. Typically, the flight was around $600. And that's because I fly business class. Because otherwise, I just show up all cranky. So I'm like, this is a write-off. I'm going to do business class. Sometimes it'd be a little bit more, maybe $900. But yeah, around $600. The hotels, too. I spent close to $800 to $1,200 per stay. Again, New York was really expensive, but that was the outlier. And I did choose hotels, not the swankiest hotels I could get, obviously, but definitely comfortable, like Marriott's, right? Comfortable, clean, and very well located to the places I was going to be at, because I didn't want to deal with traffic or delays. So that's what made the hotel cost be a little bit more expensive. And then I also had meals and Ubers, taxis, or possibly a rental car. So that would be like another $400 at least. So again, that totals up to like $2,000 per city. If you are looking to do it on a budget, you can definitely, and I had people that were like, hey, you can stay with me when you come to LA, right? So that you don't have to pay for a hotel. And I'm glad that I had people that were kind enough to open their home to me. But for me, I just knew that I needed that space to be able to decompress from traveling and to have my own space. And I'm like, this is a write-off anyways. Let me just pay for it. But yeah, if you need to do it on a budget, then that would be a good way, right, to get in touch with your friends and, hey, can I crash one night at your place while I'm in town to promote my book? And you save a lot of money on the lodging costs that way. So it just kind of depends on what you're comfortable with and what your budget is. Let me see here. Question number four. Would you suggest having the event paid ticket? Wait, hold on. Would you suggest having paid tickets for the event? I think the question was written a little wrong. Let me take a sip of water. I'm a little thirsty. I am very passionate about this question because I've clashed heads with a lot of community leaders over this, because a lot of community leaders are like, this stuff should be free for our community. And I agree, but I have had several events in Chicago that predate the book tour. And I have found that the free or very, very low cost events were the least attended ones, where the events where we charged 20, 25 bucks, 40 bucks for people to attend, people took it more seriously because they had skin in the game. So they would actually show up. So I've learned, me and my friends who host events here in Chicago too, yeah, typically 20 bucks or 25 bucks is a sweet spot, where again, it's nobody's going to go bankrupt over 20, 25 bucks, but it's still enough where if you're second guessing, like, oh, should I go to this event? You're like, oh, well, I did buy this ticket, I might as well go. So, and if they didn't show up, then at least it would cover the venue and whatever snacks or drinks were bought for that person. So yeah, because otherwise you're going to be left out of money. So yes, I highly recommend that you have paid ticketed events for your book tour. Let me see. And again, the cost, I think that would make sense would be 20 to 25 for me. Let's see. There were some book tour events where I was very involved in the planning process. So that was when I did Ravenswood Breakfast House, it's a Latino-owned restaurant. When I did Postres, another Latino-owned restaurant / bakery. And then the Women, Wealth, and Wellness event with Latina Sweat Project. So because I was more involved in those, I did get a say in, hey, we should charge for these events because otherwise people aren't going to show up. So we charged, around 20 bucks. I believe the Women, Wealth, and Wellness, which is with Latina Sweat Project, because they're a nonprofit, she wanted to keep it a little cheaper. So we did it 15 bucks. The one with the NYU Latinx alumni, I didn't have as much to do with the planning for that one, but they charged $15, which I'm glad they did, because again, it just helps people stay accountable. I've also done free events, and those have been hit or miss, to be honest. So the free events that I've done, I did one at a Latina-owned bookstore. The attendance was okay. I think that if, again, tickets would have been sold instead of just for free, I do think people would have shown up. But what happens is Sunday comes around and you're like, oh, I signed up for this like earlier in the week and it sounded really cool and now I'm tired. And I get it. I've been there too, right? I just kind of want to chill at home. But that event had quote unquote sold out. And it wasn't full, which means that not everybody that registered signed up. And I do think it's because the event was free. So that's why I'm against free events. My friend Gabby, what she does is she'll charge, let's say, $20 for an event. And then she'll put a disclaimer. Nobody will be denied for lack of funds. If you have any issues paying, just DM me. And people that need to will take advantage of that and will contact her. So I've never felt the need to say that to my community. I feel like that goes without saying. When I launched my course, I had a lot of people in my DM saying, I really want to be a part of your investing course, but I don't have the funds. And I did offer a discount. So, for any of my events, nobody will be turned away either for lack of funds. But also, no se pasen, you guys actually have to show up. Let's see here. The other free event that I did was with the World Spiro Bookshop. So that was with Book Papi in Queens, New York. I asked him, hey, is this going to be free or is there going to be some sort of cost? And I told him why I prefer to charge a small cost, a small fee. And he says, I've done these many times and I prefer to do them free for the community. And that's his bookstore, so it's his rules, right? So I'm like, all right, he knows his community best. And sure enough, it sold out right away, even though it was quote unquote free. And because he has a very tight community, They showed up, but it was also a small venue. It was like 30 capacity of 30 people or 35. So it was a small venue, but every single seat was taken up. And I do think it's because Adrian has done a really good job of nurturing his book community in Queens. So yes, it's hit or miss. But again, I personally have found more success when there is a little skin in the game, whether that's 15 bucks or 20 bucks. Question number 5, what are the key tasks that need to be done during the planning of each event? So again, all of this, we just kind of had to learn as we learn and go. What am I trying to say? Again, there was not a lot of information out on the internet about how to plan this. So Luckily, I had the support of my marketing strategist / project manager, Vanessa Valentin. Hi, Vanessa. I know you listen to the podcast. She's been instrumental in planning this book tour because she serves as the middle person to be able to get this done. But so what are the key tasks? Definitely sourcing a venue, right? So I found it best to partner with bookstores or the library. The Downey City Library, which is the event I just had, has been the easiest out of all the events that I've had to be a part of because they took care of all the planning. They did all the setup. They created the landing page. Really, all I did was show up. I showed up early, right? And then I also promoted the event on my own. So I made a post on LinkedIn, and then I made a video on Instagram and TikTok. So that was my lift, promoting it. But the actual setup, getting water bottles and everything like that, I wasn't responsible for any of that, which is really nice. Try to partner with bookstores or libraries because they will do a lot of the lifting for you. And they do these events all the time. So they're well-oiled machines. If you're not able to find a bookstore or a library to host you, then plan to find a low-cost venue of your own. I really found that I like to partner with Latina-owned restaurants or coffee shops because typically they would close their restaurant or coffee shop in the afternoon. So the space was available in the evening for me to have events. And because I did it with friends, they were kind enough to not charge an event space fee. But then from the revenue collected from the tickets, we were able to pay some sort of fee, which is typically $500 for the 3 hours or something like that. Let me see here. Oh, another good tip is try to find a co-host in your area. I have done some of these book tour stops on my own, and some I've done them with co-hosts. So the one that I'm having that I mentioned at the top of the show in Florida, I'm getting Carla to co-host. And the reason for that is because it's where she lives. So she has a community out there. And also it's to get help with the marketing. Instead of you doing all the marketing push, you have a second person to help you with the marketing. And then also Carla knows the area. I've never been to that area. So I don't know what the weather's like. I don't know how people deal with traffic, commuting. So she's able to give me insights like that. For example, Janice, I noticed she's doing a lot of her book tour stops with co-hosts. And that's very smart. And I know it's because her PR people told her to do that. It makes sense to co-host with somebody who has a community or a presence in the city that you're going to, and then that way you can tap into their market and collaborate, right? So, it's very, very smart. So I wish I would have done, I was pretty good. I mean, with Adriana Book Papi, I had reached out to him because we already had a relationship from TikTok. So again, they're tapping into his community. With Postres, I know Gabby has a strong community at Postres. So that was another way to... it was like half and half, I say. Oh, the Latina Sweat Project, very, very strong community here in Chicago. So very light lift for me. But the co-host makes it easy because it's also like people get two for the price of one, right, to come and see you at the event. And it just makes it more engaging because then you have somebody there to, be the moderator, ask you questions, as opposed to you just doing a monologue or something. What else are some key tasks? Decide on the format that you're going to have for your event. I've done two formats that have worked for me. So I've done, most of my events have been a panel for 40 minutes and then an hour of meet and greet / book signing, typically something like that. Sometimes we go over. Oh, sorry. So 40 minutes of panel, 20 minutes of Q&A, and then an hour of meet and greet / book signing. The minority of the events have been book readings. So the one I just did in Downey was actually a book reading. It was a 20-minute book reading. I read part of chapter 2 called Immigrant Money Habits That Keep Us Broke. And I'm so glad I read that section because people really enjoyed it. There were a lot of laughs. And I read another part of the book at another book tour stop, and it was a little bit more I don't want to say dry. It was just more serious. It was more serious, but you know, you live and you learn. So definitely if you're going to do a reading, make sure to pick a good section of your book. One that isn't like a somber. It's like the first one I did. One that is very engaging and is a good conversation starter with your attendees. But what I preferred was a panel discussion with the Q&A. And also the reading would have a Q&A part. So, the reading format is definitely if you have a shorter time span. So, for example, for Downey, that was only supposed to be a one-hour event. So I said, okay, great. We'll do 20 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes of a book reading, then a 10-minute Q&A, and then a 30-minute meet and greet. We actually went over to almost an hour of a meet and greet, and that happens. It's just a lot of people, and even with the timer, we just still go over. What are other key tasks? Once you've decided on a venue, what type of event you're going to have, how much you're going to charge for this event, you have to create a landing page for the event and set your ticket cost. For some of these events, I did it myself on ConvertKit. For others, the host would create their own landing page. So it just kind of depended on what the process was. Also, I encourage you to create a question bank. Shout out to Alexia, who helped me come up with mine for our very first event. She was a beta reader of my book, and she also had read the book once it was published. So she knew the book very well. So she was able to come up with probably 20 questions that were very, very good questions that anybody can ask to have a thoughtful discussion about the book topics and themes. And that just makes it easier for when, if you are going to have a moderator or a host, it just makes it an easier lift for them, right? Instead of them having to read your book and having to craft their own questions, you have a question bank of questions you know you can answer and that they can choose from. Oh, I will share here a hot tip. I found for my format of 40 questions that typically, or sorry, 40 minutes, that typically only fits 6 to 7 questions. So don't try to pack in 20 questions into a 40-minute panel. It's just going to be too much. Let's see here. And then, yeah, key tasks. I'll mention it later, but I'll mention it here too. When you're planning an event, if you are going to be somewhere where you're going to have limited support, like, for example, at a bookstore or at the library, you're going to have a staff, right, of people that can help you and you have support. But if it's going to be limited support, definitely hire a task rabbit to have an assistant to help you with things like that, or even to capture content, because then the content you can use for marketing on socials. And then lastly, the other key task for getting the planning done for the events, I had the support of, again, my marketing strategist, Vanessa Valentin. And she would handle all the back and forth between me and the venue. If they had questions about what time are you arriving, what do you need, do you need a tablecloth? And she would also send headshots and blurbs and the book cover and everything that they needed to promote it on their end. All right, we're about halfway through with these questions. The other ones won't be as long because I'm not as experienced in what she asked me, but let's go. Question 6, what are some personal items to bring during each event? So I believe I've made a LinkedIn post about this, but I'll cover this quickly. Number 1, lots of Sharpies. Do not just bring one because you will run out of ink. So bring a pack of Sharpies. Bring post-it notes for the attendees to write their name in advance before they get to you in line, because what will happen is they say, oh, my name's Kimberly, and it's a weird spelling of Kimberly, and it just steals time from your interaction. So that way, if they write it down in the post-it ahead of time, you clearly can see it and you're able to dedicate it to them in the correct spelling. So yeah, have post-its ready to pass and pens for people to be able to write their name while they're waiting in line. Have a charged phone so that you can use your phone's timer to keep the line moving smoothly. My very first book tour stop, I did not have a timer. I was just going with the flow, and that wasn't a good experience for my attendees, and because I think the line was like 2 hours long. It was way too long. And some people did stay, but I'm sure some people left. I would have left. I would have been like, oh, this is too long. But yeah, some people waited, and I felt bad, and it was because, again, it was my first time. I didn't know any better, and I had limited access to any sort of planning information. So after that, I learned, okay, let me incorporate a timer and see how that works. And I would tell people in advance before we started the meet and greet, hey, I'm going to have a timer, just to kind of set the expectation and understand that everybody's going to get the same time. If you want to chat again, feel free to get back in line, but this way everybody gets an opportunity to get their books sent, and then they can leave if they need to, right? Because people got lives. Bring water. They'll probably have water for you at the venue, but I just always felt better having my own big water bottle because you're going to be talking to a lot of people, so you want to make sure that you're hydrated. Bring comfortable shoes. My first book tour stop, again, I wore these very cute blue boots that I got a lot of compliments for. And they are cute boots, but they were not comfortable boots. And my feet were aching the next day. So yeah, I tend to stand for a lot of my events instead of sitting. You can sit. A lot of authors do sit, but I end up standing because you take pictures with people. So you have to stand up anyways. And I just would find it easier to stand up the whole time. So you want to wear comfortable shoes. I would wear sneakers a lot. Recently, a hot tip, I created some flyers with my speaking services because for me, that's where I make my money, right? From my speaking services. I don't make profit from these book tour events. It's just a way to build community, build loyal readers, get the word out about the book because a lot of people would take their friends that had never heard of me or had never heard of the book. And then, so yeah, so I created cute flyers on Canva with my information and my speaking services that people can take with them if they're interested in that. And then I also have bookmarks that have my favorite affirmation on the bookmark. And then the back, it has my speaker information. So it's kind of like a mini business card / bookmark. So again, hoping that can lead to some speaking clients because, again, that's my bread and butter as I'm trying to move away from brand deals. Let me see here. Oh, and then last hot tip here, when you're asking me what are some personal items to bring during each event, this isn't a personal item, but I would suggest you have somebody there help you get B-roll. So I guess that could be added to like what tasks need to happen beforehand. If you can have the staff at the venue support you with capturing videos or photos on your phone so that you can make content with like a voiceover narration or something later, it's just going to help you to kind of keep the book tour promotion alive. And also it's going to help you to craft a pitch deck if you want to do that later, which we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. So for me, I had a lot of friends that would attend. They're like, oh, I'll do it for you. So I would trust them with my phone and they would record content for me. One time I had Araceli, one of my loyal followers, she was in the crowd and she took pictures and B-roll the whole time. Other times I've had, the venue have their people and Dropbox me the B-roll. So that'll be important. I wouldn't go as far as to like capture or hire a professional photographer. I mean, you can, I guess, especially if it's a very nice venue. I think I would go through the effort, but a lot of my venues were really small and very intimate, so it just wouldn't make sense for me to have a professional photographer. Noemi, shout out to Noemi. Noemi was with me in Queens, and yeah, she took a bunch of B-roll for me, which I still haven't shared, for me to promote the book tour stop that I had at with Book Papi. All right, question 7. Besides travel, what are some expenses that a sponsor can cover? This is hard for me to comment because, again, I didn't have sponsors. But what I have heard is that if you do secure sponsors, they can also pay you an appearance fee, which can be a couple thousand dollars depending on how big your brand is. It can be between $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 is what I've heard. And besides your travel, they should also be covering the venue costs as well as a certain amount of copies that are free for, let's say, I don't know, the first 20 attendees, the first 50 attendees, whatever it is, because that just incentivizes people to show up. Again, sorry, I don't have a lot of information because I don't have experience with that. Question 8, to what extent did your marketing help with marketing the individual events? That was mostly left up to me. I did a lot of the marketing for all my events. I've always mentioned my events in my newsletter. I mentioned them on the podcast like I did earlier at the top of the show. I make carousel posts or videos on Instagram, TikTok, or LinkedIn. Yeah, promoting the event. I will post on stories several times sharing the event. I also had friends, fellow content creator friends that would organically share, hey, she's going to be in LA. Hey, she's going to be in New York. And that was great to get the word out. And looking back at that, I could have been proactive about identifying who those people would be and asking them over DMs, hey, would you mind sharing this since I'm going to be in your area? And they probably would have likely shared it because it's just a quick share on stories. And I think that could have helped. I mean, I didn't have a problem with attendance, but if you're trying to get the word out, that's just going to make it easier because you're having the support of somebody in that area. Let me see here. Yeah, so for example, for the Downey City Library, I had La Susie from the Straight Up Sisters podcast. She organically on her own shared, hey, Giovanna, our past podcast guest, will be on in the city in Downey. Make sure to pull up and support. And I had, I believe, three women. They told me, hey, I came because I found out you were coming from Susie's Instagram story. So that was really cool. That was really cool because, again, they're from that area. So they were able to influence people to come and support. So that was great. Let me see here. Oh, something that I did that I think was really smart, and again, I had to come up with this on my own, was that I did give my newsletter community, aka my email community, first dibs on my tickets because the venues were small. Again, I mean, the smallest venue I had was 30 people. The biggest venue, probably 75 or 80. So the tickets would sell out fast, especially because I went to major cities, LA, New York, Chicago. So I consider my email community my most loyal people, which is why I give them access first. And sometimes the email community would sell out the tickets. It wouldn't even make it to socials. For example, the Book Poppy event, it sold out within an hour. I hadn't even had a chance to post it on and promote it on TikTok and Instagram yet because it sold out right away. And it makes sense, right? It's in New York. There's a lot of people in New York. So I always encourage people to sign up for my newsletter because I'm like, you're going to be the first to know when those tickets are available and you'll get first access. So it's a good way to build your list too. So that's great. And then the only event I didn't promote as much was the Latina Sweat Project. And that's because that event was very different from my other book tour stops. So my other book tour stops were heavily focused and centered around my book. So either my brand or Cultura en Cash or the teachings of the book. With the Latina Sweat Project, the event that I did in Chicago, shout out to anybody who attended, that one was called Women, Wealth, and Wellness. And we did yoga, and then we had a panel discussion about the importance of financial literacy. And then at the end, we broke off into groups, and I went into a vendor booth in the back, and I sold my book in the back. So again, my book wasn't centered, and I liked that because I needed a break from it, and I just wanted to be a part of something else. So I had a really good time at that event. But because, again, it wasn't solely me, I didn't have to market it as much, especially because Latina Sweat Project has a very, very engaged community and loyal community in Chicago. So those tickets sold on their own. I think I reshared on stories a couple times and on my newsletter maybe, but yeah, out of all of them, that's the one that I promoted the least, and it still did very well because of the strong community that Latina Sweat Project already has. Question 9, and we're getting towards the end. What roles, team members would you suggest outsourcing or getting help with during the planning and execution of your book tour? Great question. Number one, I organized all my events on Trello, and that was incredibly helpful. I know there's different project management software. There's Monday.com. There's Asana. I personally like Trello for this book tour and for everything book launch. Everybody that sees my Trello board is like, wow, you came up with this? And I'm like, yep. And they're like, how? I'm like, I studied a lot. I did a lot of research, listened to a lot of podcasts. Watched a lot of YouTube videos. So yeah, I was able to develop a strong marketing and launch strategy, and I have it all on my Trello board. So anybody on my team has access to it. I also had my graphic designer / website designer, shout out to Project Creativa, create carousel posts to promote the events so that I could plug and chug people's headshots, my name, the venue address, things like that. But what I found is that most of the time the hosts would create their own. And I would typically use their landing page as the green screen for my video when I would promote the event. So that would be like a quick 15 to 30 second video promoting the event, go to the link in bio to register, and showing the landing page in the background. So that was very easy to film. What other kind of support can you get or outsourcing to plan or execute? Looking back, I would have had my virtual assistant set up automation links to register for the book tour events. I mean, it wouldn't have made sense for all of them because, like I said, New York City Book Poppy is sold out right away. So it wouldn't even have made sense for Laura to create that because it wasn't needed. But maybe for Latina Fest, especially because Latina Fest has such big capacity, it would have made sense to make an automation. Oh, if you want to register for Latina Fest or buy tickets, comment Latina Fest and I'll DM you the link. And that would have made it easy for people to sign up. Although there was plenty of people at Latina Fest, but maybe that could be a way to, again, make it easier for people to find you and to register. I would also have a virtual assistant pitch you to bookstores or libraries to host you because, again, that's going to be the easiest lift for you planning-wise if you have a bookstore or a library host you. And libraries are better because you don't have the pressure of like, oh, I really hope people show up and people buy the books. Where with bookstores, you do have that pressure, right? You want to do right by this small independent bookstore that's using their time and energy to promote your book in hopes that they'll be able to make some sales, right? So you got to prepare your people for like, you got to come and support this bookstore that's hosting me. So buy a book or two from this business. And again, with the libraries, it's a free event. It's taxpayer money, right? So you don't have that pressure. But I did a mix of both and I really, really liked it. Let me see here. But yeah, I wish, looking back now, seeing how easy it was to work with libraries, I wish I would have had my virtual assistant research libraries in the areas that I was going to be in, and that would have been much easier to plan. I should have also had my assistant arrange my travel. She's probably listening to this and she's like, girl, I could have like done that for you. And I know, I just am a control freak and I haven't been able to let go of that part, but yeah, believe it or not, that's an extra 30 minutes, right, to the planning process when you're looking for your own hotel, your own flights. If I tell her my preferences, she can do a good job, but I did not source that. I will probably be outsourcing that in the fall. And then definitely a project manager or event planner to help you be that middle person like Vanessa was for me. Because, again, if I would have had to manage the back and forth of setting up everything for this event, it would have been so overwhelming with everything else that I'm doing. I'm doing press, I'm doing podcast interviews, I'm creating content, I'm doing speaking. It's too much for one person. So you definitely will need the support. And then to actually execute when you're there, again, you want to ask staff or whoever's going to be supporting you at the event to help you with the timer or with taking photos, because everybody's going to want to take a photo when they do a meet and greet with you. Some people have their friends, so their friends will take the photo for them. But if they're alone, it's helpful if one of the staff members is like, oh, I'm just waiting here and I'll take the picture. And again, if there's no staff that can help you with that, you can hire a TaskRabbit. That's what I did for Latina Fest, and that was very helpful. Excuse me. Finishing up here, question number 10, how early do you suggest reaching out to potential hosting venues? I reached out about 2 to 3 months in advance. I would plant the seed early. Hey, I'm thinking about going to LA. Gabby would love to collaborate with Postres. What do you think? Oh yeah, girl, let's plan for March. We'll talk more as we get closer, right? So yeah, 2 to 3 months. With Steamy Lit, which is the one I'm doing in Florida, this is the one that I've had the shortest turnaround with, so that'll be interesting to explore or to see what that looks like. So I'm going to promote it as much as I can in a week and a half. The Florida trip kind of came out of nowhere. It came because I'm going to Florida because I'm doing a project with Secret Deodorant. So that's why I'm like, oh, let me piggyback on this business trip to also do a book tour stop. So that's why it's so last minute and it's very short turnaround. It also depends on how popular the venue is. So yeah, 2 or 3 months might not be enough if it's a very, very popular venue. Question 11, how early do you suggest reaching out to potential sponsors? Again, this is hard for me to comment, but I would assume the earlier the better. And again, from my lukewarm experiences, kind of gauging people's company's interest in this, I think they want proven success for the book first before they invest any dollars. And then question 12, which is the last one, what are some deliverables that you suggest pitching to potential sponsors? So again, even though I self-financed my spring book tour, I do plan to pitch to a couple of past brand partners to see if they want to collaborate or sponsor a book tour event or two in the fall. I'm not counting on it. I will still make it happen again with speaking clients if I am not able to get any sponsors. But what we're doing is we're working on an impact report. It's going to be kind of like a pamphlet. It's going to be designed by my website designer. She just is very good at all this stuff. This is something you can do yourself on Canva, but for me, I just have learned to outsource that. So what I will include in the impact report will be screenshots of the Amazon reviews, photos of the events of book clubs holding the books, earned media, some of the quotes that some of this media has said about the book, and then key demographics on the community, because that's going to be really, really interesting to sponsors. But yeah, I myself, having created a pitch deck, I wouldn't make something too lengthy, too overwhelming. Maybe, I don't know, no more than like 10 slides. Even that seems kind of a bit much. But I think I'll have a much easier time pitching for the fall now that I have proven success for my events in the spring than when I pitched in December, January, when people are like, let's see how this book goes. We don't know if it's going to be well received, if it's going to be crickets, if it's going to be loved. So now that I have all the receipts of how good the book has been doing, how good the book tour has been doing, I think now it'll be much of an easier sell. But again, I'm not holding my breath. If I need to make it happen on my own, I will. Hopefully it won't be as expensive as it was this first time. I'm sure I'll be back in LA in the fall. Again, I plan to be back in New York. I want to go to Texas, either Dallas or Houston, but I need to get a speaking client. And then where else was I trying to go? I think that was it. San Francisco. And I'm trying to make it to the Bay too. So again, I'm trying to work with speaking clients in that area. Maybe that means offering them a discounted rate so that they can have me and that I'm able to make a book tour stop that way. But which, by the way, if anybody that's listening is in the Las Vegas area, I am looking to make a book tour stop in Las Vegas in the middle of the summer in August for personal reasons. So if you're listening and you either know someone in the area or you are from the area and you can connect me to either a college, a university, an employee resource group that's in that area, even a high school, slide into my DMs on Instagram and let me know, because again, I can offer a discounted rate since I plan to be there for personal reasons anyways. Anywho, I hope this episode was helpful. I know it was very detailed, probably not as relatable to an everyday listener, but I know that I do have a lot of aspiring writers and authors that listen to this podcast. So I hope that this information was helpful, especially because, like I said, when I tried Googling it, there wasn't much updated information on the ins and outs of a book tour. I will see you next Money Monday. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe. See you then.